Often in life, we can look at things from two different perspectives. We can say, this is the positive, this is the negative. This is the good, this is the bad. Preachers can do that same kind of thing with various lessons. Last week, if you were here, we looked at a verb which is translated give, oftentimes in the New Testament, the word didomai. It is used more than 400 times, and if you were in that assembly last week, you know that we looked at that term in from the perspective of the devil wanting to promise and deliver gifts. This word, though, is also used, as we think about it, and what precipitated this lesson was how Jesus used this word in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. We find, though, today, moving away from the devil, that God is also interested in giving gifts to people. We find about five references initially from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, we have our first text. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about God giving the gifts of tongues to people. Now, a lot of people, when they think about the gift of tongues, they are confused. They say, what were those tongues? What did they do? Do we still have them today? Well, Scripture gives us enough information so that we don't need to be confused. If you were to check or consult some other Bible translations, you would find that instead of using the word tongues, there are other versions which actually use the word languages. Now, if your Bible said languages, I suspect that you would not be nearly as confused, or others would not be nearly as confused. The Bible says that God gave people on the day of Pentecost various languages. Well, why were those languages needed? Why were those languages used? The apostles dealt with people on the day of Pentecost and at other times. They dealt with people who spoke tongues or languages which were different from their native tongue. For example, if we speak English and we want to talk to someone about God in the Bible and they speak Spanish or they speak French or they speak Latin or German or a dozen other languages, unless we have a translator or some electronic device, we will likely have difficulty communicating beyond the very basics with that person. But the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, allowed the apostles to speak in languages that they had never learned. Imagine having the most important, the most valuable gift that man will ever get, and that is the gift of salvation. Knowing about sin and how Christ can redeem us from sin, and wanting to share that with people from all over the world. But the people from different parts of the world, they speak a different language. God gave that supernatural language gift so people could tell the world about salvation. Now, the devil has some gifts when it comes to language, does he not? He does. Those gifts would include foul language. He offers the gift of degrading language. And certainly there is the gift of lying words. But the people who were filled with tongues, the apostles, the others who had that special gift, they were filled with truth. And they were able to take that truth and share that information with anyone and everyone. Along with that miraculous gift of tongues that God gave, God also gave another gift, and that was the gift of healing, a supernatural gift, Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Peter and John, as you look in Acts chapter 3, they find this man who was ill. And this man looks to them, this man wants them to give them something. And he was looking for silver and gold, but Peter said, we don't have any silver, we don't have any gold. The apostles were not wealthy people. But Peter and John did say, we do have something to give to you. There is something that we want to offer you. Now this man, Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, he had been sick for a long time. Acts 3:2 says he had been lame from birth. But in spite of never having walked, this man was given the ability to walk. No therapy, no extensive treatment. He had never walked, but instantaneously, after many years, when we start thinking about God's gifts, some of them obviously are miraculous. We read about them in the Bible, especially the book of Acts. But that time for miraculous gifts has ceased. It's over. God's no longer giving supernatural gifts of healing like we read about in Acts chapter 3. He's no longer allowing people to speak in languages that they never learned. But God says, even though things have changed because you now have my written word, I am still involved in giving gifts to people. And God's gifts are not only good, but when we start looking at God's gifts, we find that they are the very opposite of what the devil offers. The devil offers the gift of condemnation. But the Bible says that God offers the gift of salvation, Acts 4:12. In fact, in no other name under heaven is there salvation, Acts 4:12. This verse, as we start looking at it, brings us a little bit later to Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 as far as one of God's great gifts. Acts 14:17 says that God gives us some things. And this particular gift is given not only to the Christian, but also to the non-Christian. This word is used to say that God gives us rain. God gives us crops. He gives us the other things that we need to survive. God gives us food. Now that verse may not be too surprising, but this text should offer a reminder, a good reminder to us. There are some gifts from God that we receive regardless of what we do. God provides the Son, that is a gift. And yet, in spite of that gift, we do not do anything in terms of the Son. There's nothing that we do to make the sun rise every day. There's nothing that we do, regardless of how long we live and regardless of how long and hard work, there's nothing that we can do to make the sun set. But on the other hand, there are some gifts from God which do require us to do something to get the gift. God provides food, Acts 14 and verse 17. But that provision of food, God says, requires some effort. We have to have a hand in the process. For instance, if we are going to be involved in the preparation of that, God has provided perhaps for us some space. It may be in the backyard where we have a garden. Maybe God has allowed us to have some farmland or other territory, and he's allowed us to have seed, and we're able to grow crops. God may allow us to have animals, which we raise and are later used to provide food. God may provide us with resources like grocery stores where we can go and shop for food. God allows us to have, he gives us homes where we can prepare that food. Not long ago, if you were in that Wednesday class to help us bring in the new year, we had a singing and discussion night. If you've never been to some of those fifth Wednesdays, they can be interesting times. We sang a hymn, and then the song leader sat down, and we went through the hymns line by line and picked out some key things to think about. One of the songs that we had during that singing session involved the fact that we do not own a single thing in this entire world. We sing those words from time to time, but we need to make sure that we believe those words. God gives us everything that we have. We have all kinds of gifts from God. In fact, virtually every place we turn, we find gifts from God. About 2 weeks ago, you may or may not have seen this, but Amazon was getting a rash of returns when it came to Yankee Candles. They got, as far as the Yankee Candle Company, a lot of bad publicity. A couple weeks back, customers were saying the candles they burn, they work, but there is no smell from my Yankee candles. Well, apparently they did a little checking, and they did determine that the candles burn fine. But as far as the scent issue, they began to make a connection, or they began to make a correlation. The people who were complaining about the scent were also people who had apparently been infected by or were still infected by COVID-19. And their conclusion was, and maybe this was just a business ploy, but their conclusion was, yeah, it's probably not the candle. The candles seem to be fine that we're sending out, but it is your problem. Your sniffer is bad. So when it comes to candles and other things, we may not think about the gift of scent until it's gone. Once it ceases to work, you know, it's kind of like the leak we had. We had people going around, can you smell? I can't smell that. Well, let's find somebody who's got a good nose, good sense. But we miss that when it's gone. We may not think about the gift of sight. We may not think about the gift of taste until those two things have also ceased. Until that gift from God is removed, we just assume that, well, yeah, that's kind of the way life is. We may not think about those gifts, but they truly are all around us. Some build into our bodies, and many build into the world. In fact, as you look at this word give, you find it being used in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. There the Bible says, as far as God's gifts, he gives us all things. That sounds pretty comprehensive. That sounds like God says, every single thing on the earth that you have and enjoy comes from me. There is not a single day that ever goes by that we do not receive at least some gifts from God. You may talk to someone who says, there is nothing in my life that I'm thankful for. I've gotten bad news, terrible news. My life is in terrible shape right now. The rotten news just keeps coming. I don't have a single thing to be thankful for. You are wrong. Every single day, we receive at least some good gifts from God. Now, some, when they think about gifts, they say, well, let's see, yeah, there's certain dates that I need to give a gift. Valentine's Day, yep. If you're a guy, you don't want to forget that one. Mother's Day, certainly don't want to overlook that one. Father's Day, better find at least a little something for a good old dad. And yes, there are some birthdays, and there are some anniversaries, and Easter and Christmas. And we have cards, we have e-reminders, there are many stores which are anxious to sell us all kinds of gifts. But the Bible affirms that the greatest giver of all is God. And he never fails to provide on a regular basis. That has been true for all preceding years, it's been true since the beginning of time, and it will be true until time passes and even on into eternity. When Jesus was on the earth, he said something that's not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And when he said this, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he uses this word, didomai, which is translated give. The Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, not everybody believes that, perhaps, but that is true. Perhaps, like me, you have seen some gifts from poor people. And as you look at that gift, you thought, there is no dollar amount there. There is no true value. Maybe it was of poor quality. Maybe it had been used to the point that where it was no longer serviceable. And then perhaps like me, you've also seen some gifts from some very wealthy people. If God owns all things, like we saw from the previous slide, if that's really true, then anything and everything really that we offer to God, from one perspective, is cheap. It is a measly gift. If we could offer $1 million to God, $1 billion, $1 trillion, how much is the national debt right now? Anybody know? Well, I'm not asking for a specific number, but if we could look at the national debt and say, we've got all that money here, and God, we're going to give you this much. If God owns everything in the universe, it is still a very small gift. Well, why would God accept something that's cheap and measly if we're not in the trillion, billion, or million category? Somebody says, well, God, here's $100. Or God, I gave someone $5 for lunch. Why would God be interested in those gifts? Why would he be interested in giving us gifts? Acts 20:35 provides the principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God is willing to take our gifts. But God says, looking at the principle of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I delight. I find pleasure. I get joy in giving gifts to people. And he does that on a regular basis. Now, why anyone would want those gifts from the devil that we looked at a week ago and not the daily, regular good gifts from God is simply beyond me. I do not get it. But God is eager to give gifts. And if people do not want God's gifts, and there are many in life who say, God, we're not interested in the gifts that you have, God says, okay. If you want to put yourself in that class, I will let you do that. And I'll also let you have some gifts. Romans 11:8. According as is written, God gave them. God said, if you want the devil's gifts, then he says, here's what, I will let you have them. What did God give them? Because they wanted a spirit of stupor, God said, you can have that. If you want from the devil eyes that can't see spiritually, God said, you can have that. If you want ears that are not willing to listen to my word and obey that, God says, if that's the gift that you want, the devil is willing to give it to you, and I will let you have it because you have rejected my gifts. And then the text says, unto this very day. God said, if you want the devil's gifts day by day, if you want the devil's gifts even into eternity, God says, I will allow you to have that. God wants to give us the very best, the very finest gifts. But when we're not willing to do that, God says the devil has some treasures and you can have them all. Well, somebody says that doesn't sound too attractive to me. Let's see what God has to offer. Moving back to that side of the ledger, God says, I have grace for you. I want to do good when you don't deserve it. I want to be kind when you mess up. And there's also mercy. But when we think about grace, once again, we are reminded of the fact that that is available every single day. Every time we sin, God says, I don't want you to sin. And if you want to live in sin, we're going to have a disrupted and destroyed relationship. But if you're trying to do your best, grace is going to follow you as you are going through life. Grace even provides some assistance and some gifts to those who are not Christians. God, though, when it comes to Christians, his people, that gift of grace is especially rich. For those who are Christians, God says another one of my gifts is victory. And that is found with the word didomai in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. If this victory were an athletic contest, there would be some people in life who would stand in line. They would go anywhere in the planet to say, God, if you will give me the victory in this athletic contest, I will do whatever is required because that is important to me. There would be some other people who would say, God, if you will give me a gift of success in the area of business, if you'll give me success in the area of finance, if that will be your gift to me, I will do whatever it takes. I will follow you day in and day out. Another person who is sick with a severe health problem will say, God, if you would assist me, if you would help me overcome this health issue, if you will give me that victory, I will follow you and serve you. Just give me the address of where to go. And now, because of where we are, I suspect that there are some people who are so desperate for a COVID test, they would say, God, if you would give me victory in getting a COVID test, I don't have to wait through the long lines. I don't have to wonder if I'm going to get a test. I'm going to be very satisfied. God says, my gift is so much better. My gift is victory over the devil. My gift is eternal salvation. I offer you victory that is the greatest victory the world will ever know. And that gift of victory, it doesn't put us in second place or third place or fifth place. It puts us in first place. Every single person. God says, this is the championship ring if you want the gift of victory. You will be in the winner's circle at the end of time. This gift means winning when most of the other people who have lived on the earth, they're going to be in the loser circle. When it comes to gifts, we know we don't, I think, have to get very old to realize that some are far more valuable than others. There's some people who got a Christmas gift, and even though just a few weeks have passed, it's already been discarded. It's that toy that nobody wants anymore. It's the one that's been set aside. But God says, I love you so much. To demonstrate one of my gifts, God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, I'm going to seal you. I'm going to give you the earnest of my spirit in your hearts. Now that passage, somebody says, well, what does that mean? Well, we'll look at that in another time. But the point there is that it is a very significant, it is a very important, and we might say that that is a very personal gift. When we look at God and his gifts, he is someone who does not hold back. There's sometimes people, they will, I'll finally give, or I'll finally share, or let's see how little we can give, but God says, that's not me. I was willing to give my son, my only son, John chapter 3 and verse 16. And God says, in terms of his gifts, I want to help, aid, bless, and watch over you in all kinds of ways, day after day. Now someone says, that sounds pretty good to me. Any conditions? Well, yes, the Bible does have someone. If we don't want to be part of God's family, then those gifts, those abundant gifts from God, are not going to be things that we get. If we do want to be part of God's family, then this is what we find. And this, not as we had hoped, 2 Corinthians 8:5, but first they, there's that word again, they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. This verse describes some Christians who lived in ancient Macedonia. These brethren were poor. They didn't have a lot of financial resources. But Paul says, as he looks at these Christians, they understood something about the gifts of God, and they said, we want to give. We are poor. We are people who would, under normal circumstances, not be looked upon as people who can do very much. But God, you have given so much to us. We want to give ourselves. We want to throw ourselves into the work of Christianity. And this giving cost them something. It cost them a lot. And at the time as they were giving, maybe they felt like, this is more than we can afford. How are we going to do this? Some way, somehow, we're going to make it. And God, as he looked at what these people offered, as he looked at their gift, he said, I value that gift. I honor that gift. And I'm going to memorialize that gift. For more than 2,000 years, the people who gave have been read about by all kinds of people. It is as if God has a great showcase. And he says, look here. In this special spot in my showcase, here are some people who were willing to give. They were not the better healed people in society. They were not the rich upper class people. But these were people who didn't have a lot to give. But they were willing to sacrifice. Being honored by men can be great. But being honored by God is the best. It might seem odd. And this, when I saw it, struck me as a little strange. But one of the best books in the Bible to learn about gifts from God is the last one. And that is the book of Revelation. If you had asked me before studying this out, is the book of Revelation a book that you would turn to read about the gifts from God? I probably would have said, I don't think that would be the best place to go. And we're not going to put all of them up, can't, as far as one slide. But notice when we start looking at the gifts of God from the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:7, God says, I have a tree of life. I've got a crown of life. And I have, if you want to be one of my people who's faithful, God says, I have a gift in terms of a new name. And I want to give you something. And I can open doors for you. That can be a gift. Deliverance from your enemies. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9. I've got the gift of a white robe and even the gift of some special water. When we start looking about that tree, we find that Adam and Eve were able to access that tree for a while, and then that gift was lost. But God says, if you live faithfully under the New Testament, There's a tree that's available to you. And that tree is not focused on preserving our physical lives. We all die. But the spiritual part of life. That tree is, of course, the ultimate gift from God. Without that, we lose everything. With it comes all the great gifts in eternity. And some in this new year are going to die. Some Christians will inherit that great promise. Others will die. And have you ever thought about this? If the person is not a Christian, when he or she or when they die, they will never again, for all eternity, receive even one good gift. Imagine existing and wanting just a small gift like the man in Luke chapter 16. But after death, we die and never again. There is no hope of even the smallest, halfway decent gift. What a miserable existence. God gives his people the victory. So a crown is not surprising. That new name would certainly be appropriate for the people who are going to benefit from all of God's great gifts in eternity. Sin stains our name. And it creates a stain that we cannot remove. The most prominent names in life, the least prominent names in life, are stained by sin. But God says, I'm going to give you the gift of complete holiness. The gift of 100% forgiveness. There is nothing in your life. If you become a Christian and you live in the right way, there is not a single stain. There's no hint of any wrongdoing left. You have been completely, fully purged, cleansed, justified, released from every single sin. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Some of what God will give the saved will be the same. But also, as we look at Scripture, seems that God will give his people a tailored gift in some respects. There was, just before Christmas last year, a family that purchased the same toy for their son and their daughter. But the point was made that we purchased the girly colors for our girl, and we got the boy colors for our boy. Same toy, different gift. Now, maybe that's not the best analogy for how things are going to work in eternity. All the information is not revealed. But the Bible does promise in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23 that whatever that tailored part of a reward is going to be, it will be tied to our works. I know of a Christian woman, not at this congregation, who has helped clean a local church building for probably 60 years, week after week. If she's missed some, it was probably because she was out of town or sick. But week after week, for about 60 years, she has provided a clean place for fellow Christians to worship. As I look at the life of that woman, she's never gone on a mission trip. She's never spoken at a ladies' day. She's never been invited to speak at a woman's retreat. Her reputation is basically contained at what we would refer to as a small congregation. But her more than 60 years of faithfulness in the area that I described, and in some other areas, is not something that God is going to overlook or dismiss. The works that we do for God, regardless of how seemingly small or insignificant they may be, and the gifts that we offer to God in other ways, God says, in the end, some very good things are going to be given to you. In this life, God can give us some doors. Sometimes we need the gift of a door closing. Sometimes we need the gift of a door opening, and God can do it both ways. He says, do you have some enemies that need to be dealt with? Are there some people in life who are troubling you? God says, I can work some things out providentially to deliver you from those people. And that gift of the white robe, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 11, spotless spiritual purity. And that forgiveness comes through that special water. And that water is not something that we drink, can't get it from a fountain, can't get it from a secular source. That is a description for God's word. The Bible talks about two very different givers in life. And both of those givers, God and the devil, are interested in giving us a variety of gifts this year. The question then falls on us. Whose gifts do we want? Do we want those evil gifts from the devil that Satan says, I want to promise and I want to deliver gift after gift? Or do we want those good gifts from God? It's an easy choice. It's not hard. But a lot of people, they will make that choice for the devil and his gifts. But that leads to the same place, and that's destruction every single time. If you are not yet a Christian, do you want God and his gifts? If yes, the answer as far as how to get those gifts is easy. Faith in Christ, repentance from sin, confession, baptism in Christ to put you into the family of God and begin accessing those gifts. If you've left the family of God and you've gone over to the gifts of the devil, God says one of my gifts is welcoming you back. And that's in Luke chapter 15. If we want what God can give, and we need to access what God can give, and we want to do that now, we stand ready to help you as we stand and sing.